Hey guys, welcome back to the Manhood Tribes podcast. It's Don. I'm really glad to be with you again today. And today we are going to wrap up our interview with my good friend Ben Derrick as we finalize our conversation about men and mental health. If you haven't listened to the past two episodes, to give you an idea of what this conversation is all about, it's definitely worth going and checking those out. But even if you haven't, you can dive in today. We are going to talk a lot about what does healthy look like when we're talking about mental health. And so Ben is going to give us some really good pictures of that and how we as men can actually go after that in a way that is true to being a man. That doesn't have to just feel like psychobabble or anything else that you might have heard before, but I think Ben's going to really shed some light on it that's going to feel relevant and helpful to us as men. So let's wrap up our conversation today with my good friend, Ben Derrick. Okay, I want to ask you some questions here to help connect the dots with mental health and spirituality. Because I know that, you know, you and I are both coming from a Christian background. I've talked some on this podcast already about that I believe that Jesus is the greatest man worth following. Now, not everybody listening here is going to necessarily agree with that or be on the same page. That's okay. But I do think, I know how much our faith has made an impact on each of us as it relates to our mental health. And so I want to just kind of like have you broach that subject a little bit. So here's how I would frame it. You know, Christian faith and mental health has a complex relationship. Like you and I both know, you know, there's messiness there all over the place, you know, everything from one side of the spectrum, which just says, you know, if you're a person of faith, you shouldn't be doing anything about mental health at all. You know, like the answer to all your mental health problems is to just pray and Jesus will take away the anxiety. And, you know, if you're on any kind of medication related to mental health or you're seeing a counselor, then, you know, you have fallen into the deepest, darkest pit of sin imaginable, right? So I'm being a little extreme in my language, but that train of thought is definitely in the Christian world. Yeah. It's definitely there, you know, even if it just comes with, you know, even if it's not quite that like overt, there's just a sense of shame, I think, for a lot of Christians around mental health of kind of like, if I'm dealing with some kind of mental health problem, somehow that indicates a weakness in my faith, you know, a lack of faith in Christ. If I were a better Christian, I wouldn't be dealing with the things that I'm dealing with as it relates to mental health. And then you got kind of, you know, on the other side of the spectrum, although I think it's probably a much smaller side of the spectrum, which tends to just kind of separate the two things entirely, you know, which says that like, well, Christianity, that's my faith and I deal with that over here. But, you know, mental health, like my faith doesn't have anything to do with that. You know, like I need to take care of my mental health. And if that means I need pills, then great. I'm not even stopping to ask Jesus about whether or not that's important or, you know, see, I'm not looking for faith related answers to anything as it addresses my mental health. Right. So one is like the two things overlap almost entirely to the extent that, you know, we would say that mental health is not even a category because it's just about walking with God. And the other thing kind of separates them entirely. You know, even as I paint the picture of it, I think we can, you know, both pretty obviously say like that neither of those is a right or a helpful perspective. But I think most of us probably tend to live somewhere closer to one of those poles than we do towards a healthier middle. So like, can you help us get some idea of what a healthy relationship there between faith and mental health does look like? Like, how can we begin to think about that? And how can our faith help us pursue mental health? I know that's a huge question. So start where you want to, and I'll keep asking questions if we need to, you know, keep the conversation going.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I get this question quite a bit. So I'll start with where I normally do, and that usually does lead to some traction in a man's story. And believe it or not, so much of it comes down to the Bible. Our engagement as men with the Bible, whether we're people of faith or not, has usually been skimming the surface as a book of do's and don'ts. And then when we get older, maybe we'll circle back around to it. Like, is this historically accurate? It is not a very emotional way. Either of those are not very emotional ways to engage with the story. And doesn't that make a lot of sense? We don't want to engage with our own story at an emotional level. What are the facts? What are the do's and the don'ts? How do I get more successful? I have found engaging this incredibly powerful book as a great first step in beginning to read it from an emotional point of view. And in that way, instantly my faith and my emotional health journey come together. It's not some sort of mechanical process. It's incredibly organic because you run across some pages where Jesus looks at a man and says, by the way, this guy had been an invalid for decades. And he looks at him and says, well, do you want to get better? And if you're reading that from an emotional point of view, you're like, man, what a jerk thing to say. Do I want to get better? I mean, you know, like, can you imagine if someone is experiencing physical symptoms of something for 40 years and you walked up and said, hey man, you ever thought about getting out of that wheelchair? Do you really want that? You know, I mean, what was going on here? Why was Jesus asking this question? But when I sit with people who are trapped in addiction, who are paralyzed in their journey over to become mature, healthy people, then I have to ask that exact question. Do you want to get better? Because if you don't want to get better, me changing your physical circumstances makes no difference. So that's Jesus Christ who's stopping to ask those questions and engaging in that way. And if you know, even back further in the book, you see a man who was incredibly successful, who rose to the magnitude of the moment and defeated this nation. And then not long after, he's running for his life and he begs God to take his life. That's emotional.
Yeah.
In that story. I mean, haven't you been there? It's after our greatest successes that we sit on our back patio with the bourbon and we're like,
Is
that all life's about? Yeah, what's life about, you know?
Yeah.
When you start engaging the stories in the Bible, which by the way, whether you're a person of faith or not, these stories have withstood the test of time. I mean, they are classic stories. And another beautiful story that's just drenched in emotion is one of the most popular, and I think that's why it is, the story of the prodigal son and the returning and the acceptance. I mean, that's one of Jesus's that's Jesus's best work, I would say.
Yeah.
And it is emotionally based. That is a story about emotion. What frustrates me is when we have do-gooder Christians that are armored up and frozen and they don't want to be discovered for who they are, who are sharing these stories. And particularly, and I was a pastor for a long time, so I'm really hard on this guys because I should be, because a lot of them are existing with self-preservation and not engaging their own lives. And they're pushing that out into the men inside of their churches. But when we start thinning these stories out to what a man should or shouldn't do, and we take the emotion out of the story, it's no wonder that men are in church these days. Like, what does this matter? Because there's so much more to it than that. So apart from my cynicism, to be able to say, well, how do we bring the world of faith and how do we bring the world of emotional health together? We start with the story. It's where we need to start in our own lives. We start with the story and we begin to interpret the story from an emotional base instead of historical accuracy or facts or do's and don'ts. How did you feel? You know, that's a hard place to start, but again, it's an easy place to start because the book's readily available on every device you could imagine. So you open up and you're like, how did this dude, Jesus, interact with his closest friends?
Yeah.
Let me figure that out.
That's fantastic, man. I think that's so good. And I think that's, I think I see a trend in, church circles of, not just men, but men especially, kind of waking up to that reality that the faith that we have been handed, especially the book that we have been handed, isn't just a book of principles. You know, it is first and foremost a story, and that story is meant to tell us something, and we're meant to find ourselves in it. And yes, the story has a lot of principles that we are meant to learn. Jesus calls for our obedience, but that's not. At its essence, you know, really what that is about, and being able to read the story through that lens, I think is fantastic. So, okay. So what else, like in terms of just, you know, when we think of that picture of, you know, peace in the midst of struggle, you know, kind of like I talked about a minute ago, you're, you know, kind of based on your picture of what health is like, What have been for you, man, what have been some of the like spiritual practices or, you know, not even necessarily spiritual practices, but I guess I would say like, what are the things that have helped you from your faith to be able to pursue that vision of mental health? Like, what have you done? You know, obviously kind of reading the scriptures through that lens, I would think of as one of those things, but what have been the other mm-hmm. things for you that have been just like, you know, non-negotiables, things that you make a regular habit of to help you pursue that kind of peace?
Hmm. Well, obviously, to return back to one that I suggested a couple of minutes ago, I've filled pages with my thoughts and figured those thoughts out as they became external. I didn't know exactly what I was feeling until I began to write it, and I've become an avid journaler, maybe to an unhealthy degree. you know, but it's been very helpful for me to be able to sit down and say what's actually going on inside of me. I don't know until it gets out of me. So that yeah. journaling has been a huge practice for me, and spending intentional time with other men, listening to the masculine exchange. How do other men talk to one another in a way that sounds a little foreign to me? And then asking questions of those men as we spend time together adventuring or having meals. You know, what's it like to be in relationship with me? What are the blind spots that you see in me? What would you encourage in me? Asking very curious questions and being receptive to those men's answers, I would say, has probably been the most vital part of my maturation as a man. What is it that you see that needs to change? And what is it that you see that I need to double down on? Those questions, when you develop a relationship with other men in a way that they can be honest with you, you will 3X your growth in half the time because you just can't find that sort of clarity inside of yourself. So putting myself over one of the greatest stories ever written, then writing to discover my own story, and then asking other men for stories that they would tell over my life, it's all rooted in story.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, guys, I hope you're hearing that you need a tribe. You need guys around you. You need other men who are going to help push you towards, you know, the kind of man that God has really created you to be. I think this vision that you're describing for mental health, you know, this idea of peace, is all throughout the scriptures, right? I mean, this is all over the story. Like the word for it in the Old Testament is shalom, which, you know, means peace, but it really kind of carries this idea of wholeness, like that everything is as it ought to be. And, you know, what you're describing in that way is what God has designed us for. It is who he is really calling us to be. And we only get there in submission to him as our king. And so, you know, I appreciate the way that you are bringing that to us to be able to say, like, there's no judgment here about, like, have you followed all the Christian rules? You know, like, I think that's so often the conversation in church circles around mental health, like, you know, what, where are you sinning that might be causing these problems? You know, it's like, it's just like, that's not like a horrible thing to ask at some point, but it's really not the root question. You know, it's really not the base level of what's going on there. And I think what you're saying, you know, just even just understanding these practices, like you got to have other men around you who can help you interpret your story. You know, like we talked about previously, like we're so bad at interpreting things for ourselves. We got to have other men that can interpret for us. And we just got to have other men to help us, you know, call BS on the nonsense in our lives too, you know, just to help us be able to say, hey, like, I see that you're doing that over and over again, and you're saying it's not really contributing to your, you know, the problems that you're dealing with, but I think it is. Like, maybe you should reconsider that. You know, we need guys in our lives that are going to say those kinds of things to us in order to be able to make some healthy steps forward towards, you know, this picture of mental health, you know, as it fits this idea of peace. So, man, this is so good. This has just been a fantastic way to, I think, explore what mental health is all about, how we as men need to take it seriously. But also, I think it just been, honestly, I think your approach to mental health encourages me to encourage men to pursue it more, you know, to be able to say, hey, not just like a, hey, this might be a problem for you and you need to really take it seriously, but just to say, like, isn't the kind of man that you want to be described in this picture? Like, guys, if you're listening, wouldn't you say that, like, that's what you would want for your life as well? This picture of peace, you know, of being able to walk through that dark room and not lose your ever loving mind if you stub your toe on a couch that you didn't see, you know, like, I think all of us want that. And so that picture of being able to say, you know, mental health isn't about exposing some like awful part of me that I'm just ashamed of. And it's one more person telling me that I got to get my act together. You know, it's about saying, gosh, the kind of man that I want to be, the freedom that comes with that is so desirable that it's worth me putting in the work to pursue it. You know, it is a goal that I want to achieve, not just a punishment that I'm trying to avoid. And that's encouraging for me, man. It makes me want to challenge more men to pursue their own mental health.
Beautifully said.
It makes me want to pursue it more my own, you know, to just really say, there are ways that I can grow here. There are more ways that I can continue to submit my emotions to Jesus and to be able to say, hey, I want the way that I handle my anger to look more like this type of peace that you have to offer. I want the way that I deal with my own sexuality to be more in line with the peace that you have to offer me. Like, all of those kinds of things I want to be true in my life. So, I appreciate, you know, I love you and appreciate you so much, but I love the wisdom that you bring to our conversation and to help guys be able to think about mental health in these ways. So thanks.
Yeah, you bet. Glad to do it. It's one of the great joys of my life to be able to turn around in that dark room and shout to another man, careful, there's a couch there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's what we're doing with our, both of us. It's what we're doing with our lives. And thank God he's allowed us to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So for guys that are listening who are hearing you talk and just thinking, okay, I need some help and maybe this Ben guy could actually help me. Like, how can guys find you? How would they connect you? What kind of things do you offer for men that they might want to connect with you through? Give us a picture of, you know, the ways that you work and the ways that you could help.
Yes, absolutely. So the primary way to get in touch with me is through my website, benderrick.com, benderrick.com. And on that website, you can shop a lot of my thoughts about a lot of things. So that's why it's there. I feel like it's important for a man to be able to investigate from a distance. Like, well, what is this guy like? You know, and then there's a button there that says make an appointment, and we can talk for a few minutes free of charge and kind of figure out where the man is and then determine, am I going to be the guy to help you find your next correct step? The way that I do that is I sit with men by the hour in a typical format. I do that virtually with men all over the U.S. and locally here. I'm in Jackson, Mississippi. I do that here. So we have conversations for about an hour. And to be honest with you, my goal is eventually for that man to graduate. I'm not looking for a man to sit with me for 2 years. What I want to do is help kind of get some framework put together and then pass the responsibility for that man's journey back to the man. You can do this. And then we have periodic check-ins. If everything goes well, then I'm sitting with a guy once a month. After he starts, we're able to say, okay, we can talk about enough in your story for you to work on this for a month. So going to my website, clicking on that make an appointment button, and then we have a phone call or a FaceTime, and then we kind of make a plan. And I become the guide for a season. And then if I'm a good guide, then eventually I don't need to be your guide anymore because you're incorporated into community. You know the framework of how to lead yourself better, and you're off to the races, living the life that you've always actually wanted.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, so are you doing just one-on-one stuff, or do you offer any kind of like groups or workshops or anything like that at this point?
Yes. Yeah, so I sit at an event called Deer Camp, which is awesome. And we can put in the show notes, we can put the website to that. It's a little lengthy, but I'm a part of a group of men that are helping invite men, what we call out of the bushes, a little biblical language there, to begin to engage with their story. Those are Deer Camp weekends. They're called that because it's very easy to tell your buddies that you can't make it to the golf game or the football game because you're headed to Deer Camp. And then nobody asks questions after that. So
yeah.
We sit on a deck for a weekend and we begin to engage our own stories in a particular format. I'm at every one of those. So that's kind of the group model that I do. Aside from that, I'm specifically sitting with people one-on-one. And then hopefully my goal is that if you're married, I'll be able to sit with you and your spouse so that they can join you in that journey. But those are my predominant modalities. I find them to be the most effective.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Ben, this has been really just an amazing conversation. We'll put your information in the show notes. Guys, go check him out, benderrick.com. You can also look up the information about Deer Camp there in the show notes as well. And we'll get you guys connected. Love you, brother. Always good to talk to you.
Love you too, man. Thanks for the chance.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, I know after listening to that you are thinking, man, that was so refreshing and so helpful just to hear from a guy who understands what it's like to be a guy and to think through this topic of mental health in a way that feels both helpful and manly at the same time. That's Ben. And man, he's fantastic. Hey, if you are listening to this and thinking, man, Ben seems like a guy that probably could really help me out, I bet he is. And you should get in touch with him. The best way to do that is on his website at benderrick.com. That's BenDerrick.com. So go and check him out there. You can actually book an appointment with him and get a conversation started and see where it goes and if he can be a man that could help you out in your journey as a man as well. All right, guys, I hope this has been really helpful for you having this interview type content. We are going to be back next time as we begin season 2 with just me teaching some new content to you. And I'm going to give you a little heads up on what that's going to be before we dive into season 2. So look for that next, and I'll look forward to talking to you next time. We'll see you then.